Welcome back to Ping. It's episode 202.
Oh, 200 was so long ago.
202 episodes of us bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about. Rick, I believe this may be your first palindrome episode.
That's very true.
I haven't really thought about that. 191 was probably the previous one, so
that's
been a while.
I came in at 193.
There you go. So the very first. Yay!
So do I have to sit backwards now for this
one? Well, you just have to say the show number backwards.
Oh, okay.
And then
it'll be
202.
202.
I'll say it in French.
How's that?
We are multilingual here.
You got it. 202 though, man. Hey, we got four. When we recorded this, we had about four comments on the show last time.
Yeah, I forgot to follow this week. Actually, we've been super busy.
There's a bug on Channel 9 website. If you know one of the developers, maybe you could help us out. But apparently, if you post a show, it doesn't auto follow, which means we don't know if there's comments there.
It's not a bug.
It's a feature request.
It's a feature request.
It's
part of our notifications.
I'd like to
version.
Look, I can press the button. Follow.
Yes.
Boom! I'm now following.
Yes.
Nice.
It's just that you need to. You need to explicitly follow. But if you didn't realize we're talking about on top of the comments, on the right, there's a little follow button. You can set up notifications to email you or get a listing of everything that you get notifications of. Very convenient for following comments or getting replies to your comments.
If I reply to a comment, does it automatically let the person know that I replied?
Only if they're following.
Only if they're following. Okay. It's good to know. Very good to know.
Implementation detail, but because the reply button is really just injecting like a quote of what they said, we don't necessarily know the user. It's a long story.
Okay.
We can work on it. There's a lot of features we'd like to do, and only a limited amount of us. So unfortunately, as software development goes, you basically set up a bunch of features that you want to do, you prioritize them 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you get about half of the ones done.
You got it. That works.
That's pretty much only, that's the way feature works.
That's why all the stuff I've ever asked for is always down here.
Working on it. It's on the list.
But hey, a couple commenters. And IRB started off here with agreeing with us that OneNote is one of the best apps that we happen to have made, which is very, very nice.
Not only do I like being agreed with, I actually really like your avatar.
Oh yeah,
IRB. It's
sweet.
We have to ask where it's from.
Yeah, he thinks it's from Zoo Tycoon.
Hey, I threw that out as a suggestion. Those aren't real animal parts, so I don't know.
Maybe he's got some kind of wicked looking armor.
It's really cool though.
Yeah. I dig in the boots.
IRB repping Xbox and Windows Phone. Awesome.
Nice.
I also rep my 8X, my HTC 8X Windows Phone.
I'm a 1020. I like the big 41 megapixel.
That's nice.
1020.
Pierre Cove is repping Bleeding Edge web development in the Microsoft ecosystem. What is Bleeding Edge right now? It'd be web APIs, I don't know if you follow the ASP.NET stuff.
See,
Channel 9 is an ASP.NET MVC app, by the way. We have OData, we have a web API, we use all sorts of...
The extent of my knowledge on this is playing with CSS codes in my WordPress blog, so that's about the extent. Although I spent most of today fighting with my EMC SAN and building up a new storage cluster for scale-up file server. So
that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun.
No, it's, you say tomato, I say tomato, you know? You say niche, I say niche.
Speaking of which, have a comment from a Mr. James Niestwind. Sorry. Who happens to be the CEO of Iliad Games, who makes Age of Ascent.
Hey.
So we talked about this last week. If you did not see us last week, go and take a look. It is a really cool, massively multiplayer game that is frictionless. Absolutely
zero install.
It's a browser game, but thousands of ships flying around where you have real-time control over. Again, I need to go look for a joystick. because between that and
you're not
a couple
good with
other
the AWDS
out,
style.
It brings me back to my X-Wing game days. X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and Mech Warrior. And now after playing some Titanfall, I kind of want to get back on the joysticks and play that some more. But it's been a long time. Microsoft Sidewinder was the joystick I had. It was awesome. Good times back.
Was it your first major joystick you had for gaming consoles?
It was, yes. I think I had like a cheaper one before that, and then that one just lasted forever.
I had one of the original Commodore 64 metal with a big ball on the top of it joystick.
Like straight out of the arcade machine.
Just out of the arcade
machine. I guess, okay, before that I had a joystick on my Coleco.
Yeah, so that works. I was an Intellivision guy.
Oh.
They had the disc.
I didn't get to choose. We had a Coleco and the Atari attachment you could put on the front to play different games. I remember playing like Defender, Ladybug? Ladybug, I think, was like a Pac-Man clone. My mom loved that game. I played it for hours.
We digress.
Anyway, we've gone off there. 202, we're going to go off and talk about all sorts of stuff. Thanks for the comments. Comment more. Let's get on to the show.
Well, apparently pigs can fly, and there's been a change in the climate down under. Snowball's chance down under, you know. It's Office for iPad and other fruit devices, iPad particular, as we're talking about here, is available for free.
Yes, Satya Nadella, our brand new CEO, I think he said
52 days at the time of the announcement.
Made an announcement down in San Francisco this morning. Couple days ago morning, announcing the availability of Office for iPad. Now, to be specific,
it is PowerPoint, Word, and Excel.
Yes.
So I like one of the quotes they used. It was Excel. You know, you look cooler, and you look cooler by using an iPad. You look smarter by using Excel on the iPad, or something like that. I don't know.
You just simply Excel.
I know. You simply Excel. Nice. Freemium versions are the way they're advertised. So basically, apparently there was a little bit of a trouble of bandwidth and downloading and access to the App Store after the announcement was made. It went live 11 a.m. PDT, I do believe.
Yes, it did.
It's all worked out now, and you can go off and download it. And
freemium meaning you can consume and present PowerPoint, read everything, do as you may, and then if you attach it to a Office 365 subscription, then you get full editing capabilities as well.
Right.
And Office subscriptions are $99 a year right now, I believe, for 5 devices. Yep. So use that across your PCs, your Macs, your iPads now.
That's the home premium, I do believe.
Yes.
Home, small,
I think it's home premium,
thing.
It's but called.
I believe there's also a single user version too.
Just recently announced as well. Which I think is like $6 a month or something. I took a look for the details, but that's a single account.
And I love how they actually were also tying this obviously into OneDrive, because the OneDrive app is available for the iPad, and you can actually have simultaneous user edits of the documents while they're on OneDrive with multiple people from multiple platforms.
Yeah, they demoed that as well. That across multiple platforms is a really cool feature of that.
If you haven't had a chance to, I think we have the link in the show, but they've actually got a really good recorded version of that particular demo.
Oh, good.
We can make sure we include.
Yeah, the UI, if you haven't seen, is it's not like a simple, it's somewhere in between worlds. It's they use kind of something similar to the ribbon to make it familiar to Office users, but it looks a lot more native to iOS.
Yep.
So it's a kind of nice. So if you're used to that platform, then it kind of doesn't ruin your flow. And you're used to your user patterns, stuff like that. Going retro here for this segment. Back in the 80s, which is retro now, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Technically, it is an antique. Anything over 25 years.
Is that the definition?
That's the definition of an antique.
So antique software, which is just an incredible concept to me. I like how they said 35 of Microsoft's finest employees had worked over a year to produce what is now known as MS-DOS and Word for Windows.
Right.
So MS-DOS 1.1 and 2.0 and Word for Windows 1.1A are now, the source code is now public domain.
I was about to say it was 1983 according to this. That version.
It's a good year.
I didn't even start using MS-DOS that early. I started with CPM before that. And then it was DOS 3.0, and I got involved.
I don't know what version of DOS I started on, but trying to think if my first machine was a Windows machine. I don't think it was. I think it was a DOS machine. I think I had like a Norton Utilities shell that I kind of use as a GUI. And by GUI, I mean there was no mouse.
Nice.
And then eventually, a Windows 3.1 machine, and then.
So as a non-programmer, I would say it's rather funny because people have been dissecting the source code and looking at all the F-bombs and
weren't too many
analogies and funny expressions that are inside the comments. So, you're saying this is like a regular occurrence in code?
So not in Microsoft code anymore.
I was about to say,
enterprise
anymore.
Code.
Back in the old days.
Enterprise code is become a bit more professional than it used to be.
Right.
I mean, it was professional, but there are certain standards that you kind of have to do now.
There's this little thing called common engineering criteria, I think, with code review.
We have something internally called PolyCheck that'll make sure that you're not using any incorrect terms for anything. But either way, like, if you're programming and you've spent hours, and you spent hours in this one section, and you don't know why it's working, you're getting frustrated. You finally get it working, and the code doesn't even look right, but it passes all your tests, and it works. You're gonna put a big old comment in there, and be like, don't touch this. It does may not look right, like, but I spent. I actually did spend some time years ago on a piece of code where there was a giant ASCII dragon. And literally, it was like a page big.
Are you serious?
And it said, like, warning, below here, like, below here be dragons. Like, yar. Oh, and it was a giant one. And it was a project that we had picked up and were helping migrate to a new system or whatever. Yeah. So.
That's nasty.
Going through there, we're like, oh, okay, we know not to touch that section.
Very dangerous section lies ahead.
So it's a very, very...
Thou shall not pass!
Very vivid comments. They're always good in your code. Comment your code, guys. This probably is a ping first as well. We're looking over to Google for a story.
Wow.
And as another first, they're releasing stuff for us. So Google has announced the release of the Google API Client Library for .NET. We've had some interesting history back and forth via support for our apps we've made, especially yep. for mobile devices and such.
I remember those. Yeah, I remember those controversies going on.
A little kerfuffle.
Yep.
But this past Monday, the 17th, Google announced Dan Cerulli from the Google Cloud Platform team, the API calls for, I'm sorry, I don't know if they listed actually everything. I think there's about 50 APIs across their services that help manage your auth implementation. So mm-hmm. all of your OAuth dance, it's actually called, because it's like seven steps, as well as streaming uploads and downloads, batching requests, stuff like that. If you go to the article, they have a link to the actual APIs. It's very nice to have helper libraries. We're talking a little bit earlier about how they already supply REST APIs, which are just HTTP URLs that you get some JSON back or something. And so you could do everything before, but you had to do a lot of it on your own. You know, serialization and deserialization, this whole batching things, the authentication handling. So this helps you kind of increase your capacity to do stuff faster, write code faster against Google services
okay.
on the .NET platform. So whether it's a .NET app or a Windows Phone app or a PowerShell script, you can just kind of use this library and go ahead and access Google services a little easier now.
I'm glad you threw in that PowerShell script reference just for me.
It works. But that's what the whole point of .NET is. It's kind of pervasive across all of them. So
absolutely.
You write it once like they did, and yep. it works across our entire platform. It's nice.
I got it.
So when this show airs on Monday, hopefully Monday, it'll be Build Week. So Build is our big developer conference where we look into the future of our platform across all of Microsoft and expose as much as we can to developers about the future of stuff. I actually don't know.
Yeah,
so that should be the tagline for Ping, is we don't know.
It's a good one, because we really don't know.
Yeah, and if we did, we wouldn't be able to say.
But we are recording an episode.
I was gonna say, so things you should know about Build, it will be streamed live
yep.
On Channel 9, just channel9.macn.com.
Or the homepage.
Click the big icon up there, and I'll bring you right to the homepage. If you're watching this in the app, the icon won't be there, so
okay.
I'm sorry.
Is that the right side? I think it's the top left.
Isn't it get flipped around?
I think that was top left up there.
In case, there may be over there,
no,
or over there. The address bar is up there, though.
Yeah.
Channel9.msn.com. We'll be streaming live throughout the week.
Yep.
Starting from the keynote, and we'll have Channel 9 live.
If you're at Build, come on down to the Channel 9 stage and say hello.
Yes.
Look at the orange shirt.
The stage is going to be in the lobby. I may be wearing orange.
I definitely will be wearing the green hat.
We will be recording Ping, like you said, episode 203 on the stage there.
Do you have a time slot yet?
Yes, you should have it in your calendar. If you don't, we'll ping that. I'll ping you after the show.
Thanks, man. Send me an S plus, would you?
I'll S plus you. But one of our very favorite peoples, Nokia, will be there. Nokia. And they have an announcement. I like their little tagline, if you build it, they will come. I'm sorry, Wednesday, the April 2nd, at 5 o'clock. They'll be doing an announcement. It says more to come.
Ooh.
Join us. So I, again,
I'll be there.
I don't know, but I'll be there. It'll be after a long day, long first day of build. We're going to go check out what they have to say.
Absolutely.
I like the if you build it, they will come line, because when build originally started in 2011, I had the pleasure and honor of registering the domain. So I actually got to know the name of the conference before a lot of the staff, even in our hallway, and we had people who kept bugging me. They're like, "Oh, what is it?" I was like, "I can't tell you." Even our own hallway, I couldn't.
Nice.
And like 10 minutes before we launched the website, I had a picture of it's this cat staring into a birdcage, and it just says, "If you build it, they will come." And I slapped that up on my door and launched the website, and that's how we announced build internally.
Dun dun dun. Pilot, your Titan will be ready in 2 minutes.
Or like negative seconds if you're using a cheat.
Well, the good thing is that there's been some interesting stuff on the Twitter sphere and elsewhere around what the creators of Titanfall are doing to prevent cheating, in-game cheating, on the PC version. They use a variety of services, and they basically are able to detect cheaters on the PC. And as of on their FAQ, on their blog, they basically say, as of Friday, March 21st, that has changed. So before they're just passively monitoring, now they're actively engaging. And you will start to be banned in Titanfall. And not just banned as in not being able to play, but the way they wrote this is freaking amazing.
Really, we can't do it justice. Might as well just read it.
First of all, you know you're banned if you try to join in and you go to a private lobby and it says in the top right-hand corner, fair fight, cheat detected, as an example. So it actually will call out the cheat that you have. And then if you get banned, you only ever get to play with other banned players who also have the cheat engaged, which means, if I remember correctly from this fair fight and cheat that you happen to have, you basically can't miss.
Yeah, it's all like aimbots.
It's like aimbots and basically, you know, boom, boom, done, you're dead.
It snaps to like the nearest target and stuff like that. Yeah.
So it'll be a very non-eventful game, rather frustrating because no matter who shoots, you're all dead.
Well, it depends. Whose aimbot is better?
Well, they're all the same.
I love the fact that, I mean, this entire article was written in the same tongue. I mean, the URL is titanfall.com/news/we-hate-cheaters just as much as you do.
Yes. And well, it's been getting rave reviews on the net and comments. It's like 100, I want to say over 157 comments.
Yeah. It's only 4 questions for an FAQ. Yeah. I guess it's only the couple you
needed. Specifically about cheating.
But the other one is like the little edge case we call in the software, you know, industry, something like, oh, well, what if I'm not a cheater, but I invite my cheater friend?
Right.
It says, if you're not a cheater and invite a cheater friend, you'll be stuck playing against cheaters.
Yep.
If you stop inviting your cheater friend, you get to play with non-cheaters.
Nice.
It's like
you do not get permanently tainted just by playing with a cheater. You're only banned for cheating if you're actually cheating.
Yeah, how's that? How's that for motivation?
It's like
I'm not going to play with my friends who are cheaters. I mean, I don't have any. Hopefully,
it's
awesome. I don't think so.
It's absolutely awesome.
If they are cheating, they're really bad at cheating. That's all I know of my friends.
The good thing is that if you are banned, you potentially can be unbanned. They give you the name of the person. anticheat@respawn.com. If you think you've been banned unfairly, however, cheaters get what they deserve.
Thanks for watching episode 202, the palindrome episode, this week on Ping.
Front to back.
Don't forget to follow the conversation throughout the week on #PingShow. We both follow that and comment throughout the week. Actually, we keep resolving people's problems. I keep seeing they'll ask a question and we'll fix it for you.
It's like tech support.
Not a guarantee.
It's like tech, you know, no SLA on this.
Yeah, no. But we'll try to help.
Or even accuracy of the fix.
Actually, I just tried to help someone with Git integration with Visual Studio, and they're like, close, but you just opened like 100 instances of Visual Studio on my machine. I was like,
nice. Very nice.
So contact us and don't listen to us. That's what I'm saying. #PingShow, @MarkDeFalco.
@RicksterCDN. Don't forget, we have that old-fashioned email if you want to, ping@microsoft.com.
Ping@microsoft.com.
It's now revived.
It is. I keep seeing some spam come on.
I know. So. No one's mailed us anything yet.
We've gotten some stuff. It's not from you guys.
Oh, snail mail. No one's snail mailed us anything yet. That's just stuff to realize.
Because it's still on its way.
Yeah, I never know.
That's the point of snail mail.
It's not that fast.
Question of the week for you guys. If you are a developer, what kinds of comments have you either seen or written on your check-ins, your commits?
Try to keep it safe for work.
Yeah, so, a little safe for work. And if you're not a developer, just comments in general.
I was going to say, what's like a funny trick you've played on somebody?
That's completely different.
No, I know. So stick with the comments, I guess. We'll stick with that. Thanks for joining us, though, eh? Oh, we're throwing already? Okay, no, I see. You just want to go. I see. I'm going to... Oh, you got it right here. This one's lighting stuff.